Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No, my career has never been conventional. I've worked in Milwaukee. I've worked in Los Angeles. I've worked in Chicago. I've worked in Indianapolis. I've worked in New York. I've always thrived on controversy. Have I been fired a couple of times for unjust reasons? You better believe it. I've had my share of feuds. I've had my share of ups and downs.
10:01, welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse. And Bruce, we have a very special guest on the line. I'm going to let you do the intro.
Well, our tribute to Chet Kopic begins right now. A longtime friend and legendary broadcaster who helped make my career and many, many others who you still listen to all along. And we are pleased to bring in a great friend of Chet's and mine and one of the greatest pitchers in baseball history, the last 30-game winner in Major League Baseball, Denny McClain, joins us in Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Denny.
Guys, good morning. How are you?
Well, it's been a tough few days. As you know, any friend of Chet's like yourself, it's been a very tough thing to get our heads around.
Well, it's shocking. I just, as a matter of fact, I was the irony that you remember where you were when I was. I was at a car dealership back. I was buying a new car, and I'm sitting there talking to a couple of the sales guys. And one of the sales guys said, "You know this guy in Chicago, Chet Kopic or something?" I said, "It's not Kopic, it's Kopic." And I said, "Why would you be looking at something in Chicago? We're sitting here in Detroit." He said, "It just came on my computer." I said, "What? What came on?" He said, "He died." I said, "What?" I said, "You got to be kidding. He's never going to die. Chet will never. Chet will not accept dying. I'm telling you, I know him that well. He would never accept dying." And I said, "No, there's no way." So I swung the computer around and I looked at it. I was just blown away. I swelled up right away, tear-wise. I just can't believe it. I mean, been a friend for so long. I've done radio with him, TV with him. As a matter of fact, when I first met him, the first time I ever met him, now this is 1,000 years ago, in Indianapolis, Indiana, when he was working at Wish TV, I think it was. And lo and behold, he comes in there and he says, "Are you Denny McClain?" I says, "I'm not Willie Horton." I said, "You know, there's a distinct difference." And he says, you know how Chet was. He was just a smartass all the time, especially when he wanted to get to know you to begin with." And I said, "Yeah, what can I do for you?" I said, "My God, you're 10 feet tall. Why aren't you playing basketball?" He says, "I suck. That's the reason I'm not playing basketball." I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Let's do an interview." He said, "I don't think anybody in Indianapolis has ever talked to you before." I said, "There's no reason for anybody in Indianapolis to talk to me." I says, "I'm not a Hoosier. I know who my father and mother are." So we went into this. You know how he was. The one liner after another, especially once he gets comfortable with you.
Oh yeah.
And we had a great time. I mean, we must have done an hour of tape. And then after the interview was done, this is the best part of this interview. About after a good hour. And I said, "Listen, I've never seen a camera that can run an hour." He said, "Now we ran out of film about 30 minutes ago."
Denny McClain, the great, great pitcher, last 30-game winner ever. There will never be anyone even close in history to come to that because they hardly make 30 starts anymore, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Denny, tell me what you think the brilliance of Chet was. What was the essence of why he was so good and so popular for so long?
First of all, he was bigger than life. He is just essentially bigger than life. He didn't care. He cared about how people felt about him, but he wasn't going to allow that to stop him from getting an interview, getting his point in, making a good or a bad point. I mean, nothing would stop him from getting what he wanted. I mean, he had, and I'll tell you this, a lot of people don't believe this, but he did a lot of research, boys.
Oh, I
mean,
I know.
He was a walking encyclopedia. There's another guy, I currently now do a podcast here in Detroit, which is obviously all over the country, as most of them are. We got a guy by the name of Bob Page doing it. It was me, a guy named Eli Zarrett, and Bob Page. And Bob Page worked at Madison Square Garden. He worked with Howard Cosell and all those big guys in New York. And much like Chet, I heard your intro with Chet was he's been fired from many different places. Page has been fired probably 10 times more because he hated management wherever he went, and he would wind up ripping management everywhere he went. And he got fired everywhere he went. And the only other guy that approached as far as knowledge goes would be this Bob Page, who I work with. But nobody comes close to Chet. I mean, Chet was so over the top. He was a walking encyclopedia. He was a walking computer. And what he didn't know, you know, I always used to tell him, I said, is that true? He says, no, but it sounded good, didn't it?
Hey, Denny, a lot of people in the business are known for their attire, and certainly
oh,
Chet
God,
was known
yes.
for that long, long mink coat or raccoon coat
yep.
or whatever it was. I mean, yep. did you ever see yep. him wear some
It wasn't always dead.
Well, that's right. It was always wasn't dead. But, you know, I used to tell him, I said, listen, during the summer, as big as you are and you sweat as much, you kill that bear. Didn't you? But I had a mink coat too when I was playing ball. The Riviera Hotel where I used to work when I played organ and piano for all those years, they presented me with a mink coat, and we used to talk about the mink coat, which one was worth more. I says, well, mine never ran anywhere. I said, yours is still running on the back of your ass, for Christ's sake. But they didn't make him any better. They didn't make him any more personable. Listen, this is a loss for all of us. I mean, all of us who knew him. And you could call him anytime, and he'd give you 5, 10, 15 minutes. I mean, and by the time you got through talking to him, if you were in a lousy mood to begin with, you wouldn't be at the end of the conversation. That's the kind of guy he was. He made everybody's day. I don't ever remember having a bad day with him.
You're right. Hey, Denny, how can people find your new podcast, where it's at?
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, there's two ways of finding it. You can either go under Eli and Denny Podcast. That's Eli and Denny Podcast. Or NoFilterSportsPodcast.com. NoFilterSportsPodcast.com. And, God, we're already hitting 10, 12,000 numbers already every week. So it's you can go to it like everybody else. You can go to it and listen to any show at any time. We've done about 30 shows already. We do two or three a week. And we're having a ball with it. It's, it's something that I'm sure you guys are involved in it, too. It's something that you really have to get used to because of, you know, you don't have any required breaks, and you can go an hour and a half if you want, or 3 hours if you want. And it's just been a lot of fun. And the news today, these 20-minute news cycles that we're in are just terrific for yeah. guys doing podcasts. I mean, the one I woke up with yesterday afternoon was they want to run Tiger Woods out of golf now. And what's next? It's crazy, just crazy. I'm having more fun now than I ever did on radio and TV because, you know, there's no rules, and you can just do the only thing that we don't do on our show is we don't use any profanity. I mean, I've been trying to keep the other two guys down to a very minimum. Because it's not appropriate. I mean, you've got children listening to these things now. The kids are more attuned to the computer than we are.
You're right.
And then you've got, besides the kids, you've got a lot of women listening to these things.
Denny, we appreciate you joining us. We'd like to have you on again, talk a little baseball, and talk to you about your podcast again. Thanks for sharing those great stories about you and Chet, and we will keep him in our thoughts always.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the call, and you guys give me a call anytime.
All right.
Thanks, Denny.
Thanks, guys.
Denny
Bye-bye.
McClain, the last 30-game winner that will ever be in the game of baseball, as we segue to another great friend of Chet Kopick and mine and yours, David, the president of the Chicago Blackhawks, John McDonough, joins us on our tribute to Chet Kopick. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
We're doing good. You know, as we talked to Denny about, as you listen to, he just can't believe that he said Chet wouldn't allow his passing without his consent. And, you know, it's funny and sad at the same time because that is the essence of Chet.
Well, I think Chet would have enjoyed the fanfare. You know, this has been a really heavy few days for all of us. You know, I will remember, you know, you and I had a very spiritual conversation about 2 days ago that I'll remember forever. So it's just good to have the chance to talk and remember Chet today.
Hey, John, I don't think there was anybody ever, maybe in broadcasting, certainly on the local level, who was a better promoter than Chet. And that's something that I'm sure you could appreciate, you know, being in the marketing and promotion business yourself over all these years. He was second to none.
You know, David, he was a showman. He was a bit Barnum and Bailey. He was very self-deprecating. He had the ability to make fun of himself. But he might have been a bigger fan of wrestling, roller derby,
yeah,
even more than baseball and some of the others, because I think that played right into who he was. He was a very complex guy, and he loved it. He loved the showmanship about it. He loved the creativity about it. But we talked about that quite often. He would always reference Bobby Heenan and Bob Lewis and a lot of these wrestling guys.
Yeah, you beat me to the punch. I mean, my most famous conversations were about Bobby Heenan, who was a character, obviously, unto himself. And he also, Chet did, he loved Bill Veeck, because Bill Veeck was the ultimate showman himself in baseball, you know, long in the past.
Yeah, he did. It was just, it was who Chet was. He loved that spotlight. He loved to be noticed. As a matter of fact, he would say to me sometimes that, you know, he would go into a crowd to be noticed, and he pulled it off better than anybody else. He was great in front of people. I think also he was very, there was a part of him that if you knew him well enough, he was very, very humble. But wow, what a devastating loss.
John McDonough, the president of the Chicago Blackhawks, joining us on our tribute to Chet Kopech on the Score. We'll continue our baseball conversation with Bob Brenly at the bottom of the hour. John, I was fortunate enough to be identified by Chet to have him help me with my very humble career at the beginning. Is there anybody that could sell a person or a product better than Chet? I mean, when you'd come on, before you'd come on, the introduction was longer than the interview.
He was magical in that sense. And our players, both with the Cubs and the Blackhawks, when he, especially recently with Chelios and Bobby Hull and Savard and Esposito, the introductions would be longer than their presentation, and about three quarters of it wasn't even true. And that was actually the beauty of it. Many times he would introduce me when I would come on the show, and the introduction would be 2 or 3 minutes, and I would kind of parse through the things that he were saying. And you're saying to yourself, I wish that was true, but that's quite an embellishment. He was also the greatest embellisher of all time, but we all bought it because it was coming from the voice of Chet Kopech.
John McDonough joining us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. You know, when I think of Chet, John, over all these years, I think of some of his famous sayings, your dime, your dance floor, let's do a lap around the salad bar. Are there any other ones that stand out in your mind that I'm not thinking of right away?
David, I'm going to give you one that was very, very recent. So Chet would blog periodically. And within the last year, there was a blog that went out that was a little bit over the line. It was regarding another franchise in town. And I called him and I said, Chet, how you doing? He said, Big Mac, I'm doing fine. Just, I said, Chet, you've got to be careful. You know, you've got to be careful. There are other teams in town. We have to have respect and reverence for all of these other teams. And you're putting me in a bad spot when you do that. So I'm going to ask you to please curtail. If you're going to blog about another team, you can't be critical. He said, I hear you loud and clear, big man. 10 minutes later, I get a phone call. He goes, Mac, it's Kopic. I've had a chance to think this over. It's Kopic 5 minutes for cross-checking. this will never happen. Like, where do I go from that?
Yeah.
Like, where do I go? You're not going to do anything to him because you love him. But he had to come back in his own Kopic ease.
John, when you look at all the people in radio and communications media in Chicago and all over that he impacted, it's just mind-boggling to see how he identified talent, how he built people up, and how they went on to their own great careers as well.
He helped everybody out. I've been reading so many things about people who we impacted in the broadcast community, but also in the sports community. And for many of the good things that have happened in my career, I give Chet a lot of credit for, because at a very young age, inexplicably, he would put me on his radio show. He would put me on, Bruce and David, you remember the back table?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And he had me on the back table when I was early in my career, and he had the heavyweights of the industry on there, and I had no idea why he would have me on there, but he felt as if, okay, there might be something here. However, it was humorous, and you both know this very well. When you were on with Chet, the code for him not listening to what you were saying would be, uh-huh. And this would be television. So it would be he and I on the back table, mm-hmm. and he would ask me a very profound question. I would do my best to answer. I knew full well he was not listening to the answer. And when I would go on radio with him, I would hear him turning the pages of the
newspaper. Oh, yeah, yeah. You would always hear that.
While I was on with him.
And taking a drink of a diet, his 10th Diet Coke of the day.
Well, he would come into my office at Wrigley and at the United Center, and in his briefcase, there would not be any documents. It would be Diet Coke.
So true.
John, thank you so much for sharing, you know, some of your remembrances. I'll always remember Chet telling me back in the early 1990s to mid-90s, John McDonough will be the president of the Chicago Cubs. He will be a president of other teams. He is being limited as a marketing director, and I tell you that he will be. And that psychic power, that premonition certainly came true. He identified talent in a lot of different people, and you were no exception, my friend.
Well, thank you, Bruce. That's very nice of you. And hopefully we'll all get together in the next week or so and celebrate the great life of Chet Kopic. Good to be on with you, Bruce and David. Nice to hear from you. Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it, John. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. President of the Chicago Blackhawks, John McDonough, wrapping up our tribute to Chet Kopic. Back to Chicago baseball talk. We'll talk to Bob Brenly, the Arizona Diamondbacks, at the bottom of the hour. Take your calls, Cubs, Sox, everything baseball and inside the clubhouse.
And Bruce, I got to say this. First of all, I didn't know Denny McClain was that funny, to be honest with you. I mean, his podcast must be hysterical. I mean, he's like a stand-up comic. But, you know, the common bond talking to both Denny McClain and John McDonough was, and obviously some great memories with Chet, who you know, and I said this yesterday and I'll continue to say it, Chet was a pioneer. Who paved the way for a lot of us to do some of the things that we enjoy doing. So I'll always be appreciative of that. But we laughed a lot over the last 20 minutes. And sometimes, unfortunately, when somebody passes, if you can laugh, you know, some of the great memories, that's a good thing, actually.
Chet would be smiling right now, for sure. So we'll look forward to his memorial. Thank Mitch Rosen and the people here for allowing us to do this nice tribute to Chet, and we'll continue on with our baseball talk as we move on here on Inside the Clubhouse.
And real quickly, Bruce, this hour is brought to you by Continental Toyota. Experience the Continental Toyota difference with over 400 new and used vehicles in stock located on LaGrange Road and I-55 in Hodgkins, ContinentalToyota.com. We'll be back right after this. 10:28, welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse. We got Bob Brenly coming up in just a matter of moments, but right now, let's go back out to the phone lines and pick it up with Joe, who's checking in from Joliet. Go ahead, Joe, you're on Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, so, yes, I don't know if you guys caught it, but yesterday during the Cubs game, when Bob Brenly did the seventh inning stretch, you know how they go, and we root for the Cubbies, right? He didn't do that part at all.
Yeah.
Like I just thought that was so funny. Like because you know how he's at Arizona Diamondbacks broadcaster now?
Right.
I just thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, I saw that. I watched that too. You know, he just put the microphone toward the crowd when it came root yeah. four. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks for picking that one up, Joe.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Joe. You know, that's not unprecedented, though, Bruce, because I remember other teams' broadcasters, and, you know, you can go down a litany of them, they won't do it either. They won't put in their own team's names,
right.
But they won't say the Cubs, almost like it's blasphemous on their
part.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
you can't.
I mean, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, that's
for sure.
Of course
not. Of course not. All right, let's continue on the phone lines. Let's go north up to Wilmette and pick it up with Ray. Go ahead, Ray. You're on Inside the Clubhouse.
Thank you. Bruce, I'd like to ask you a question. Who do you think of the minor league players the Chicago White Sox have would be the next player to come up to play in the major leagues? And how's this outfielder doing, Blake Rutherford, down in the minor leagues? Thanks, Bruce.
Haven't looked at his numbers this week. I can tell you Luis Robert has been on fire, and that's the guy everybody should keep their eye on. It's probably not this year, but, you know, coming into next year, David, September maybe a call-up, but more likely – next spring, he's going to fit in with these other guys. Dylan Cease is everybody should be looking at. And watching his really good starts and the idea that he might be up as early as June or July, David, is a real possibility.
Yeah, listen, the White Sox, and we've talked about this numerous times, they have so many prospects that hopefully will pan out, so we'll just have to wait and see. But right now, we have a special guest who is just about to get on our phone lines, and I will tell you that Bob Brenly joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline. El Pamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. And Bruce, take it up with Bob.
Bob, great friend of ours joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Thanks for taking some time out today, Bob.
No worries, Bruce. Dave, how you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. you know, we just had a caller on. I don't know if you caught it when you were getting hooked up. He said, how come Brenly didn't say root for the Cubs? And we said, because he doesn't root for the Cubs anymore. He is working for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I know you've enjoyed your tenure over there, but I'm sure you have a great affinity every time you walk in the ballpark and see all the friends that you have left behind here.
Boy, no doubt about it, Bruce. I mean, from the ushers to the concessionaires to the people that work in both sides on the clubhouse, the bat boys, a lot of familiar faces, a lot of good memories from my time spent here in Chicago. And getting back to the root for the Cubbies, I don't know if you remember when Bob Uecker tried to say root for the Brewers, you do the same for the Cubs, and they damn near boot him out of the ballpark. So
right.
I just point the microphone out. I let the Cubs fans say Cubs, and then I go ahead and finish the song.
How are you enjoying your career there? You've been there a long time now, and how do you enjoy the broadcast that you guys do there? And how different is the broadcast? I know I listen to you guys on occasion, but in your mind, how different is another team's broadcast than the quote unquote Chicago Cubs?
Well, you know, first of all, the Cubs telecast historically, and I don't know where it's going to go in the future, but historically it was, for me, a very fan-friendly, a very homey telecast. I mean, you know, going back to the days of Harry saying, you know, hello to Susie Smith in Peoria, and, you know, all the things that made it your hometown telecast. And that was kind of unique to the game of baseball. And you know, out in Arizona now, we're part of the Fox Regional Group, and they have very specific ideas about what they like and what they don't like on the telecast. So, you know, some of that hominess is gone, but, you know, I still enjoy my job. It's hard to call it a job when you get to sit up here and watch a baseball game every day for a living. But, you know, the Cubs kind of had their own thing here when it came to the radio and television because of their fan base, because of everybody around the country, around the world that rooted for the Cubs. It had a completely different feel to it.
Hey, Bob, I got to laugh after yesterday's game. And let's face it, the wind was crazy yesterday. It was like a wind chamber. And Joe Maddon was making mention, he brought up Candlestick. And he said it was like yesterday was Candlestick on steroids or something like that. But you played in Candlestick for a long time. So, you know, how did yesterday compare with Candlestick? And, you know, how does that just affect the game in general? Because those pop-ups yesterday, they were pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was really crazy here yesterday. I think the one difference is wind velocity was probably very similar to a lot of games I played at Candlestick, but you know, because Candlestick, by the time I got there, was an enclosed stadium, when the winds got inside, they swirled. It might be blowing straight out to left one inning. It might be blowing straight in from left the next inning. It might change from hitter to hitter. And you really never knew where a ball was going to go when it went up in the air. So the thing about yesterday was it was a very stiff, strong, cold wind, but it was blowing consistently in from left field. And every pop-up that went up, you had a feeling it was going to blow up into the bleachers on the right side of the field. So the wind yesterday, in my eyes, is something that you should have been able to anticipate and try to get yourself in a position where the wind is going to blow the ball too, rather than get underneath it and then try to chase it as the wind took it and pushed it toward that first baseline. But, you know, wind is horrible for the game of baseball. It affects everything. I mean, the hitter's standing in the batter's box, the wind hits them and throws them off balance a little bit. Pitchers out there on the mound have trouble with the grip on the baseball because of the cold wind. It's just tough to feel your fingers. And, you know, if you stand out there for a couple or three innings and don't get a ball hit to you and you don't get a hit as a batter, you can freeze to death out there on the field like yesterday. So it was just not conducive to great baseball.
Bob Brunley joining us for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. He's David. I'm Bruce. We're here doing Inside the Clubhouse every week, 52 weeks out of the year on 670 The Score. Bob, you caught for many years. You managed a world championship team. You broadcast thousands of games. Where do you stand on catchers as far as pitch framing and how that's become such an important part of analytics, the way that general managers and front offices look at it at this point in time?
Well, I think it's every bit as important as it's always been. I mean, we valued that back in my playing days and my coaching and managerial days. We just didn't have numbers to put on it and names to give to it. You know, a lot of the analytics that are so popular in the game now, everybody wants to talk about the numbers and the spin rate and the, you know, exit velocity and launch angle. We studied all those things, too. We just didn't have terms for them. I mean, I didn't need a computer printout to tell me that Dave Parker hit the ball really hard. You didn't need a computer printout to tell you that Sandy Koufax had a really good spin rate on his curveball. You could just use your eyes and your experience in the game to tell you things. But now that we can quantify them, you know, it seems like every team is trying to use all those numbers as best you can, which is the smart thing to do. But I don't think it's really changed the game that much. You know, good baseball guys, if you watch a game, you can tell who's throwing hard and who's not throwing hard and who has good movement on their sinker and who doesn't. You know, once again, just because you can put a number on it, it's become very trendy to jump into that analytics pool.
Bob, in closing with you, July 31st comes around. Put on your prognosticator cap if you can. And is Zach Greinke a member of the Diamondbacks or some other franchise on August 1st?
Well, there have been rumors about Zach moving along almost since the day he got here because of the size and length of his contract. And I think it really all depends on what the Diamondbacks do between now and July 31st. This is not a full-blown rebuild. You know, they've plugged some holes. Obviously, you lose Goldie and A.J. Pollock and Patrick Corbin. Those are three ginormous holes in your roster. But, you know, I think the organization feels like if they can stay close, if they can compete come July 1st, that they may be in a position to possibly add a player or two if that's what it comes to. But, you know, if the Diamondbacks are scuffling along, if they're, you know, dropping out of the race in the National League West, I don't think Zach Greinke will be the only guy that will be trade bait here on the Diamondbacks roster.
Bob, as always, David and I appreciate your friendship and coming on the show. I look forward to seeing you out at the ballpark the rest of the weekend.
Absolutely, guys. I want to say hi to my son-in-law, Pat Priola. He's driving back to the suburbs. He was in the city last night. We had breakfast this morning, and he's a religious listener to you guys, so I know he's got you dialed in right now on his drive home.
Oh, we appreciate that, and you as well, Bob. Thanks again for joining us.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Right, thanks, Bob.
And we'll put Pat on next.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Listen, this, you know, you have always had great guest lists. I will say that, you know, not only when I'm here, but when I listen, of course. This is the best guest list that I've been part of. This has been great today.
Yeah, it's been a special show. And, you know, of course, the impact of Chet on my career was so profound. And the fact that I saw him just about every week for the last 10 years for lunch and all we did is sit there and laugh and lie to each other. You know, it was just it was just so much fun. And I'm really having a tough time with it. And I want to send out my love and respect to his ex-wife Anna, Suzanne, and his kids Lindsay and Tyler.
Well, you know, and you know, there's nothing good, of course, but I just want to say that one very good thing that I feel good about is that Chet saw his daughter get married last month.
Right.
And, you know, it's a tough time for the family, obviously, but he was there for a very, very special occasion in his and his family's life, and that's something to at least feel good about in a very bad time.
So. Absolutely, David. I wouldn't be sitting here and be lucky enough to be doing radio in Chicago without Chet Kopick and a lot of other great people like Cheryl Ray, Jerry Cook, Mitch Rosen. They've all had a huge impact on my career. I'm leaving people out, but it's just it's been a great ride. But you don't do it without great friends and other people identifying what little talent sometimes you do have.
All right, Bruce, the bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch your Central Division champion Wolves as they battle Grand Rapids in the second game of the first round tonight at 7 at the Allstate Arena. For playoff information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Also brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Shopping for a mortgage and maybe trusting hundreds of thousands of dollars to an online firm? Really? Use Lakeside Bank, your own Lakeside Bank. Mortgage banker will be with you every step of the way when it comes to a mortgage. Personal is best. Lakeside Bank, it's about time.
And will the Cubs have room for Addison Russell when he returns?
Good question.
Well, we'll discuss that with you. 312-644-6767. Text us 67011 on Inside the Clubhouse.
We'll be back right after this. 10:46, welcome back. Our final segment here on Inside the Clubhouse. I'm David Schuster. He's Bruce Levine. And Bruce, it's been a great show so far. Great show.
Let's not ruin it now. It's
You know what? And I don't think I've laughed as much as I have.
I know. It was great. It started with McLean and all those great memories from John McDonough as well. And, it was Yon Mankata. I mean, not Yon Mankata, but Yonder Alonso was certainly fun at the beginning as well. But, David, we have a situation coming up in about 12 days where Addison Russell will complete his minor league stint. About 6 days from now, he'll be able to go out for 7 days. And then a big decision to be made. And it sounded like, from talking to Joe Maddon yesterday, that he is penciled in to go right back to shortstop for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly how I read it. And I think that's how he meant it to be read. Also, he said he's still one of the best, if not the best, defensive shortstops. I still think, to be honest with you, I think Javier Baez is a better defensive shortstop, in my opinion. And I think in the long run, we've talked about this, you and I have talked about this probably now for 3 years, that I think Baez is the better shortstop because specifically about his arm and his range, and Russell would probably be best served to play second base, but they've never followed through on that.
David, with his new aura, you know, he's on the cusp of superstardom, Baez. Mm-hmm. How will his ego handle moving from the quote-unquote golden position of short back to second base? How do you think... I mean, we know the clubhouse will be handled. We'll know Joe will handle it. But how do you think Baez internally will handle that?
Well, unless he's going to hide it, I think he'll handle it pretty good. I mean, he's always, you know, he portrays it as being a team player. And he says that he doesn't care about the numbers. You know, I think every player does care about the numbers to a certain degree. So I think he'll handle it okay. But I'm talking about from a baseball standpoint, I think he's a better shortstop. That's my opinion.
Well, I guess Joe's opinion and the opinion of the Cubs is that with those two up the middle, you have the most range of just about anybody in baseball. Therefore, you can eschew using the shift very often because you have so much range there and you can position your players better. I think the Cubs were one of the teams that shifted the least last year before Russell went out on his suspension. And a lot of it has to do with the amount of range that they both cover.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Joe Maddon, Bruce, you know this better than almost anybody. He likes having musical chairs with his players all over the place, both in the lineup and even more so in the field. And the one guy he has not done that with, at least in the field, has been Addison Russell. They've only played him at shortstop, yet Baez has played all over, Chris Bryant, you name it. Everybody else plays all over the place, but they have locked him in defensively to only play shortstop.
The first question I asked him when I got to spring training, you were already there, was, will Russell play other positions? And he said, well, we think that Addison Russell's a shortstop. So whether that was a situation where he's going through this therapy as well on his program to get back, and they didn't want to give him too much to think about besides coming back as, quote-unquote, Addison Russell, maybe that's a part of it. They also are going to have more trading chips if Russell comes back and he does it successfully.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, Bruce, today the scores, Julie DeCaro and Maggie Hendricks, they'll be live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar that's out in Roselle. Stop in from approximately 4:30, depending on the time of the Cubs game, to 8 o'clock this evening to see the broadcast. Meet Julie and Maggie and enjoy Sam Adams specials. It's brought to you by Sam 76, the crushable Sam Adams. Let's go out to the phone lines before we get out of here, Bruce. South side of the city, and Ron. Go ahead, Ron. You're on Inside the Clubhouse.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, David, I agree with you. The show is always good, but today was great. Really nice hearing Danny McClain. So, you know, but, you know, guys, hey, Bruce, just wanted to point out last year when Yoan McConnell was struggling. And actually, you know, Bruce, I had concerns. I mean, the high strikeouts, but one thing we have to always remember, the most difficult thing to do in all the sports is hitting the baseball. But I know Tim Anderson, you know, getting a lot of attention. But Tim started showing improvement last year. But I'm just so happy to be able to see Yoan McConnell. Big part, you know, of the rebuild, made the transition to third base. But just have to point that out. It makes you optimistic, guys, you know, for the White Sox future. So,
well, Ron, not only does he hit it, but it makes a different sound. And he hits it awfully hard. And that continued thing, David, with Moncada, the idea that I asked Rick Renteria and Rick Hahn this question. If he cuts his strikeouts from 217 to 150 this year, that's about 60 or 70 extra balls in play, probably hit hard. There's a good chance that Moncada is going to have a very good year.
Isn't it funny, Bruce, because when they first brought him up and he was playing second base and, you know, they had a hole at third base, and I know Jake Berger was drafted to be the third baseman. Unfortunately, he's had the two Achilles heel injuries. But we all said, you know, publicly and, you know, amongst ourselves, well, how about third base? Why doesn't he play third base? And it took a while, but logic finally, you know, prevailed.
And logic was also pushed by the fact that their number one pick, Nick Madrigal, is a second baseman, and it won't be long in their mind that he'll be there at 35th and Shields and Belvec Drive to be able to help out there. So things are looking up for the Chicago White Sox. There are some players that are starting to make their presence be felt.
Yeah, one more phone call before we get out of here. Let's go out to St. Charles and Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on Inside the Clubhouse.
Hi, guys. Joe Madden drives me crazy. He seems like a really nice guy, but he's got so many preconceived notions about players that it just irritates the out of me.
Specify.
He's got the best right fielder in baseball playing center, which is a complete waste of a fantastic arm. He's got a guy on the bench, you know, 4 days a week, that's a sewer with a glove out there in center field. Not to mention how he treats who pitched yesterday. You know, like that seventh game of the World Series. You know, he goes in there and makes up his mind before the game even starts that he's coming out early.
Yeah, he's had pretty good success though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but you know, it makes me wonder. How much better they would be with somebody else.
Hey, yeah. Joe, we're running short on time, so we appreciate your phone call. You know,
I understand what he says.
Listen,
because
he drives us crazy, too, sometimes in the lineups.
But, you know, whether you like it or not, it's well thought out on his end.
Yeah, and I mean, he's always got a reason for
everything. And until further notice, he's going to be making those decisions.
Absolutely. Hey, Bruce, we got to say special thanks to a lot of special people today. Yonzer Alonso of the White Sox. By the way, the White Sox game was postponed in Detroit. They'll play a tri-night doubleheader in August. Denny McClain. Wow. I can put that on my resume that we got Denny McClain on a show that I was on, as well as John McDonough. They were both here to talk about Chet Kopech. And Bob Brenly, good friend of both yours and mine, he joined us also. I'll see him out at the ballpark. Special thanks to Zach Withers. Appreciated, Zach. Coming up very shortly, Steve Rosenblum. I'll be sitting in with him. And Bruce, thanks again for always allowing me to sit in with you.
It's a great pleasure. Matt will be back next week, as he will tomorrow, on Hit and Run from 9 until 12:45 before Chicago Cub baseball. And people can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. Follow my writing on the Cubs and White Sox. 670thescore.com. Rosie and Shu are up next on The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.